from WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Filmmaker Michael Moore took presidential politics to the movies with his impassioned polemic Fahrenheit 9/11. It's out today on DVD. But two can play that game, also out today, from a very different place on the American political spectrum, the film answer from the Christian right. It's called George W. Bush, Faith in the White House, and it is a rousing hallelujah chorus of praise for a very publicly Christian president.
Today, the majority of church-going Americans believe George W. Bush is the right man at the right time. But the president, by his own admission, spent many years chasing the good life, smoking, drinking, cursing, and carousing with his friends. Then, on the verge of his 40th birthday, he made a decision and turned his life around.
With 1 month to Election Day, a reported 300,000 copies of this DVD, where George Bush stands before a beaming Jesus, are headed out to churches across the country. It's a call for Christians to rally for Bush and against the separation of church and state. Tonight on Point, the faith-based presidency of George W. Bush and the Christian right's answer to Fahrenheit 9/11. Do you see the fingerprints of fundamentalist faith on George Bush's policies as president? Are they welcome or worrying to you? Do you see too much religion in the White House or still not enough? You can join the conversation tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me now from New York is David Kirkpatrick, reporter for the New York Times, who's paid a lot of attention to religion and politics in America. David, thanks for being with us tonight.
Glad to be here.
We've heard a lot about the Bush-Cheney reelection campaign's efforts to corral support from the Christian right community. Is that ongoing? Are they still collecting directories from churches and making that a mainstay of their election run-up?
I wouldn't say that collecting the directories was such a mainstay. I think, in fact, collecting church directories is kind of an old trick of machine politics that people have done in the past. What is interesting is the scale that they are reaching out quite directly to people who go to church to try to get those people to mobilize their fellow church members. I think it's definitely true that the Bush campaign has taken careful note of poll results showing that people who attend church at least once a week or more are much more likely to vote for George W. Bush. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that those people did not vote in the numbers that they might have in the last election. So they see an organized body of people there who, with the right incentives, can get themselves together and, you know, drive their neighbors to the polls and in a close race help pull them over the line.
And how vigorously, David, is that community, and I guess that in particular the sort of fundamentalist or evangelical wing of the Christian community, or the Christian right, as it might be called, how vigorously is it responding to the president's call? At the institutional level, are church leaders, ministers, calling on their congregation to stand up for this president?
It's very hard to generalize about that. For example, when you speak about the Christian right, not that many people are going to say, oh, that's me, I'm the Christian right. A lot more people are going to say, I'm an evangelical Christian. And those who do say I'm an evangelical Christian are going to attend a wide variety of churches. They might be Southern Baptists, but they might go to a Pentecostal Assembly of God church. So it's not like there's a single hierarchy that could speak to all of them. On the other hand, they are all likely to admire some of the same figures, like Dr. James Dobson or Charles Colson, both of whom are radio personalities. And those figures who have what people in the churches call sort of parachurch ministries, those people are working pretty hard to remind voters that there are social issues that they consider biblical issues at stake, issues about abortion and same-sex marriage and so forth, that will motivate people to go to the polls and might lead them to vote for President Bush.
Is the message from those leaders, we've got our man in the White House, let's keep him there?
I think there are a lot of evangelical Christians who really feel that George Bush is one of them, yes. There's no doubt about that. However, I have personally never heard George Bush say, I'm an evangelical Christian, or even I've been born again. And in fact, he sometimes says things that in terms of doctrine might strike many evangelical Christians as incorrect. He says very tolerant things about Muslims and Islam as a legitimate faith mm-hmm. and things like that that I think strike some evangelical Christians as kind of, what's he saying? But that doesn't seem to bother them, in part because, you know, his overall persona seems so sincerely moved by his own faith and his own relationship with Jesus.
David, we're going to talk in a moment with the producer and director of this new film, George W. Bush, Faith in the White House. You've seen it. It says right on the front, an alternative program to Fahrenheit 9/11. How would you describe this film and its message?
I would say that calling it an alternative to Fahrenheit 9/11 is a bit of a misnomer, and I'm not alone in that. Christianity Today, which is a leading magazine for evangelical Christians, said the same thing. The movie doesn't really address any of the subject matter of 9/11 or rebut any of the subject matter of 9/11 in any way. Another thing about this film that's worth noting is...
Well, you mean by that, you mean to say it doesn't talk about Iraq, it doesn't talk much about policy, it talks about the president's faith itself.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Thank you. It talks about the president's faith itself, and it does so in really a kind of a campy way. There are a lot of dramatic recreations of scenes in which actors play figures in the Bush family or in Bush campaigns. There's an actor who appears as Jeb Bush. I think it's an actor who appears as George Bush.
And the boy, the young boy Bush, the, right. the middle-aged young man Bush.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly, with sort of cheesy voiceovers. But the campiest thing about the film, and the reason why I think even for a lot of people who are themselves heartfelt evangelical Christians, the reason why I don't think this is going to be very powerful is it overplays the situation. If you watch this movie and you didn't know and you never read a paper and hadn't followed political affairs, you would think that the only thing anyone liked about Bush was his Christianity, and the only thing anyone disliked about Bush was his Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very much like that is the dividing issue. Like, this man is being persecuted because of his faith, but he's standing tall because of his faith, and that's what this election is about. And I don't think that there is anybody in this country who thinks that. You know, if I go to a Southern Baptist church someplace out of the heartland and you talk to the parishioners, they're going to say things to you like, yeah, I care about abortion. I also have some thoughts about Iraq, and I wonder about tax policy. You know, I'm not saying what side they'll be on that, but everybody notices those things.
So who do you think is the audience that these filmmakers had in mind?
Well, I think the audience of these filmmakers had in mind are just those churchgoers. My personal opinion, having seen the movie, is just that it's not a good movie.
Maybe that's just because you're not sitting in that pew.
No, I don't think so. I try to make it a point to sit in a lot of pews. I just think this isn't a great movie. And if you read Christianity Today, I mean, I read the review in Christianity Today before I first wrote about this film, shortly after I'd seen it. The people at Christianity Today certainly are sitting in these pews. That's their business. And they think it's a pretty cheesy movie, too.
Well, it's sure got faith written all over it. At least that's the banner, and it's holding it up high in its way. David Kirkpatrick, thanks for your time, your quick review here, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
David Kirkpatrick, reporter for The New York Times. We're talking tonight about the faith-based presidency of George W. Bush, how that is likely to play in this fall's presidential election just a month from now, how it's being portrayed in the new DVD, George W. Bush, Faith in the White House, billed as an alternative program to Fahrenheit 9/11 and quite a different kettle of fish. Joining us now from Loveland, Colorado, producer and director of the film is David Balsiger. He's vice president and chief operating officer of Grizzly Adams Productions. David Balsiger, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
It's good to be here tonight.
Also with us from Hanover, New Hampshire, On Point news analyst Jack Beattie, senior editor at the Atlantic Monthly. Jack, hello. Good to have you.
Hello, Tom. Hello to our guest.
David Balsiger, so here you've put together a big film, 70 minutes, all about the faith of George W. Bush, its importance for the country, a changing relationship, as you describe it in the film, between church and state over time that you're clearly not entirely happy about, though perhaps George Bush is turning that around. Before we jump in, I want to hear a little bit more. Here is a clip from George W. Bush, Faith in the White House, where Bush watchers describe the president's faith.
I'm convinced that President Bush has very deep convictions related to his beliefs based upon principles that could be traced back to the Judeo-Christian ethic. I do not believe for one moment, however, that he would seek to manipulate others nor impose his beliefs. I think that he in the truest sense of the word, seeks to let the light shine, and its radiant effect has a positive effect on others.
Every person I've taken to meet the president is immediately won over by the sincerity of his faith, but they're also struck by the fact that he doesn't make grandiose claims about it. President Bush's form of Christianity is somewhere in between mainstream Christianity and evangelicalism. It's very compatible with Catholicism as well, but he's really a kind of perfect mediator between the mainstream Catholics and evangelicals.
He is, by all accounts, a deeply religious man and one who believes in the power of prayer. In fact, I've heard several accounts of the president being found in the Oval Office on his knees in prayer.
Observers of the president and his Christian faith, speaking on the new film, George W. Bush, Faith in the White House. The producer and director, David Balsiger, is with us. David Balsiger, what was your mission, your intent in making the film?
Well, our mission and intent was to make a documentary on whether or not George W. Bush actually walked the talk of his faith. We did a Gallup poll about 2 years ago and pointed out for the people participating in this poll that there was a difference in George Bush's practice of his faith from other contemporary presidents, and would audiences be interested in knowing more about that, and it scored very high. And so we started moving toward production on a show like that, and then three books were published about his faith that were concluding the same type of thing. We licensed two of those books and interviewed the author of the third book. And that's what the show is really based on. What does George Bush do behind the scenes when it comes to practicing his faith? Does he actually walk the talk, or was he pandering to the Christian right, like he when he made that statement about Christ in the Iowa debates?
When he was asked what philosophy or philosopher he most admired, and he said Jesus Christ.
That's correct. And there were a lot of evangelicals at that time, and even mainstream, that questioned, was that just a statement made by him to get votes? And so we actually open the show with that and start the examination from that point forward.
So your opening question is, does George Bush have the depth of faith to lead the nation in this time of crisis? But it is not long in this film, David Balsiger, until you're quoting people calling him an old, comparing him to an Old Testament biblical prophet. And your narrator is asking, how did this president come to be such a man of faith and love? You say that you're suggesting he's different from other recent presidents. How so?
Well, most all American presidents have been Christian and one Catholic. And throughout history, you know, they've all talked about their faith, sometimes in speeches, and they may quote a scripture or something of that nature. But George Bush does that too. But what he does behind the scenes, quite different from other contemporary presidents. The man starts his day every day with about a half hour of prayer, reads scripture for about a half hour, has about 20 different spiritual advisors, where previous presidents usually had one or two. He's not reluctant to call these spiritual advisors before giving a speech or making a major decision. He's not reluctant to share his faith with world leaders and even pray with them in the Oval Office.
And in your view, this is all a darn good thing.
Well, for most Christians, they feel comfortable sleeping at night knowing he does this. They don't feel it's harmful to the nation. It's more of a personal thing. And to President Bush, it's the source of his foundation.
Jack Beatty, there's the comforting message to the audience that David Balsiger wants to address. Frank Rich looks at this and he says the president's got a vote for me or face Armageddon reelection message.
Well, that's one of the sort of worrying things about his faith. It's content. You know, does he believe in any way in this sort of dire eschatology of the last days that one reads about in these Left Behind novels? According to a Newsweek poll, 17% of Americans think the world is going to end in their lifetime. Does Bush? And is the Middle East somehow important in this scheme? I mean, I just don't know what the content of his faith is and whether his spiritual advisors imbue him with that sort of doctrine. And if they do, that's kind of scary.
We're going to come back and hear a lot more from the new film, George W. Bush, Faith in the White House. You can join our conversation tonight. What is the religious identity that George Bush has brought to the White House? Do you welcome it or fear it? We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about the faith-based presidency of George W. Bush and the Christian right's answer to Fahrenheit 9/11. It's out today, the same day that Michael Moore's film comes to DVD. You can now watch, see, buy George W. Bush, Faith in the White House. You can join our conversation tonight. Does George Bush's faith give him a special moral anchor? Does it inspire his thinking or blind it? And is Bush's brand of Christian faith your brand? Is it the brand you want to see in the White House? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Let's listen to the president himself from the film.
My relationship with God through Christ has given me meaning and direction. My faith has made a big difference in my personal life as in my public life as well. And I pray for guidance. I pray for patience. I firmly believe in the power of intercessory prayer. And I know I could not do my job without it.
People need to understand the difference between different types of Christian leaders. One type of Christian leader uses everything to convert people to Christianity. Another type of Christian leader uses their strength to serve everybody. In George Bush's case, he wants everybody to be better off. He's a real servant leader.
There was George Bush speaking to a religious gathering, and that clip closing with Ted Haggard, president of the National Association of Evangelicals, from the film George W. Bush, Faith in the White House. David Balsiger is producer and director of the film. David Balsiger, you later on in the film, after a lot of exploration of George Bush's faith, how he came to it, how it plays out in the White House, you asked, your narrator asked the question in a way that suggests the answer. She says, but will George W. Bush be around to finish the battle against the forces of evil that threaten our very existence? What, in your view, is riding on President Bush's campaign for re-election, David?
Well, I think from a religious point of belief, evangelical point of belief, they like to have a man in the White House who is willing to express his faith, willing to consider faith when he makes decisions. And when it comes to, let's compare him to Senator Kerry, for example. Senator Kerry made this statement to Associated Press in an interview. He said, I don't make decisions in public life based on religious belief. To a Christian believer, that is a foundation they don't particularly like. They like to know that the man in the White House does seek prayer, does pray himself, reads Scripture, and is concerned about issues from a faith point of view when they are relevant to a decision that he's making. So there's a big contrast between the two candidates here. The religious right, as you call them, but that's usually much broader than that definition. They sleep better at night. They feel better when they know their president is there that's going to make decisions, whatever they are, whether it's to defeat terrorism or some other major national or international issue, that he takes counsel from a higher source.
You're putting this in kind of mild terms now, but the film does suggest that President Bush needs to be allowed to, quote, finish the battle against the forces of evil that threaten our very existence, does it not?
Well, I think that's a perspective of the evangelicals. Once started, it ought to be finished. But it's not saying that Senator Kerry would not finish, say, the war in Iraq either. But it's a matter of who are they more comfortable with in finishing all the different things when it comes to the war on terrorism or even a number of social issues that evangelicals are concerned about. They like to know that that president supports some of their issues. And as one guest said earlier, well, he's not really a true evangelical because he doesn't buy into everything. That's true. George W. Bush was raised Presbyterian, married a Methodist, and he's slightly right of mainstream.
And there are some who feel, or perhaps the president himself, that he was called, divinely called, to run for the presidency. Let's listen to just a bit of that.
But he said, I honestly believe that I am supposed to run for president. He said, I believe it's something God wants me to do. And he said, I can't explain it, but I believe my country is going to need me at this time.
On September 11th, 2001, that premonition came true. The nation and the world changed, perhaps forever. The events of 9/11 sent shockwaves around the globe. As we watch the horror unfold at the World Trade Center in New York and the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., President Bush walked away from the innocence of a gathering of school children in Florida to face the hatred and uncertainty of a group of madmen bent on destroying this nation. How would his sense of destiny serve him and the nation? How would he stand up to the monstrous evil that now faced America? Would we see him rise up in righteous wrath or sink to his knees in prayer? Or would this young neophyte president do both?
In all my years of studying the American presidency, I have never heard of a president having such a sense spiritually of what was going to happen while he was in office. I think this explains George W. Bush's sense of destiny. I think it explains his leadership style. And it also reveals why we saw such strength in him following September the 11th.
And the choices for the president in George W. Bush, faith in the White House to rise up in righteous wrath or to sink to his knees in prayer, perhaps both. Producer and director David Balsiger is with us. David, you have said, if I read correctly, that this is not a political film. And yet the narrator ends this film saying, asking, will his faith, that is the president's, be sufficient to keep us in God's hands? Perhaps, she says, if we all join our faith to his. It seems like a pretty clear political clarion call, isn't it?
Well, in Christian circles, it is and it isn't. In Christian circles, we like to support people of faith. The president asks consistently of the people that have been with him in a faith-based situation, he asks them to pray for him. It's a very consistent theme with President Bush, seeking people to pray for him. And that's kind of what that ending's all about. Join the president in prayer. There's a presidential prayer team that approximately 3 million people are praying for the president on a daily basis.
But there's a little matter of voting as well out there in this season.
Well, some will vote for him and some won't vote for him. But a number of people, because of the foundational belief and how he approaches his job on a faith-based foundation, they will vote for him. There's no doubt about that.
David Balsiger, stand by. Jack Beattie, I want to welcome into our conversation from Seattle, Washington, David Domke. He's Associate Professor of Communications at the University of Washington, author of God Willing, Political Fundamentalism in the White House, The War on Terror, and The Echoing Press. David Domke, thanks for being with us tonight.
Good evening. Thank you.
David Balsiger's film is paying a lot of attention to the unique qualities of George Bush's exhibited faith in the White House. How do you see the religious faith that the president is talking about, demonstrating, referring to in his 4 years in the White House, David?
What this film does is what the mainstream press have done for the last 4 years since George Bush made the White House, is it gives a pass to this president's claims of faith. George W. Bush and people around him regularly speak in the most favorable terms about his faith, that it's mainstream. It's as mainstream as apple pie in America. But what they do not do is scrutinize how that faith is carried out in terms of policy. This is a president that in three distinct ways is different than previous presidents, in at least modern presidency since Franklin Roosevelt came into the White House.
Okay.
First of all, he speaks as a prophet of God as opposed to a petitioner of God. Presidents have traditionally used religious language, and perhaps presidents have used even more language that is religious than George W. Bush. But they have done so in a way in which they've petitioned for God's divine favor. And by that, I mean they've asked for God's hand on the nation. They've requested blessings. They've asked for wisdom and guidance.
But a prophet does what?
This is a president that issues declarations mm-hmm. about what God wants for the world. He has said on repeated instances that freedom and liberty are not America's gift to the world. They are God's gift to humanity. And then he does the second attribute, is he justifies the same characteristics that he ascribes to God to American policies. So freedom and liberty, that's what we're doing in Iraq, he says consistently. In linking God's will to American policies, he does something that we really haven't seen in the White House since the founding of this country. We certainly haven't seen it in the modern presidency when presidents have been able to exercise this mighty superpower presence in the United States. So his linkage of God to American policies is something that we just have not seen in recent times.
And your points and two and three?
The policy. The third one is that he speaks in a coded language that appeals to evangelicals. And this is clearly manipulative. He speaks in a way to make them believe that he's on their side in all instances, although he doesn't necessarily pursue the policies that they want. So he talks about, in the GOP convention acceptance speech, he talked about the calling of the nation, the fact that we've kept our faith, the transformational power of freedom and liberty, the sin of slavery, asked for their prayers. He talks about the resurrection of New York. He says there's a season for all things, a time for hope, straight from Ecclesiastes. All of this consistently, which suggests to conservative Christians that he's one of theirs. And yet, if you do not give his faith a pass, a simple pass, but you actually scrutinize how it carries out in terms of policy, it doesn't line up.
Doesn't line up with?
With the agenda of the conservative right in the same ways that he suggests. He has never in any way tried to do anything about abortion, which is the core issue to the religious right. In terms of the constitutional amendment regarding same-sex marriage, he's only pursued that when it became politically valuable to him and to the administration. We heard nothing about that for 4 years of his presidency until June, till this summer, when all of a sudden it became important for him to mobilize the base. This is a president that is using faith in the service of a political agenda. And I just think that it's political and religious propaganda to put out the perspective that you can't question this president's faith. That's an attempt to silence the needed scrutiny. We need to scrutinize any president's faith.
Jack Beatty, I want to cut to the chase of this conversation. There's more that we'll hear from the film. But you know the views that are floating out there among some number of Christians, a great celebration that they have a president in the White House who's willing to be so open in his discussion of his faith, of his affirmation of faith. Among other people, a real fear that there's a new kind of Christian fundamentalism, an ideological and politically charged Christianity that's crept into the White House that's somehow corrupting American tradition. How do you see it?
I guess I don't see the Christian fundamentalist takeover scenario. I mean, Bush really hasn't done much for Christian fundamentalists, it seems to me. The faith-based initiative sort of foundered within months of it being announced. And the fundamentalists, the evangelicals, were the first to say they wanted no part of it, and partly because it would mean that state assistance would also go to Catholic charities.
To say the least, not to say Buddhist and Zoroastrian.
Right. That's right. So that foundered. And he's not doing anything on abortion, although if he appoints a Supreme Court justice, that'll be at the center. And he's done some things abroad, you know, gag rule on abortion counseling and so on. So he hasn't really done much for them. And he has spoken a good deal about tolerance. I think that's true. I mean, he hasn't. He did years ago ask Billy Graham, well, can Jews be saved? And Billy Graham assured him that they could. And he seems to have applied that logic to Muslims as well. But, you know, it's not so much the Christian takeover of the country. It's the way faith works for Bush that worries me. It really does duty for him for intelligence. That is, he doesn't, when he's talking about realities, he doesn't refer to them. He refers to his feelings about them. You know, I know Saddam Hussein was a threat because he was a threat. That sort of thing. And that's scary when a president is in his own world almost, and when he uses his feelings, his faith, his inwardness as the authority for reality. The two things are not obliged to coincide at all. And I think we saw some of that last week in the debate with Kerry, where he kept referring to his perception of things and in Iraq and elsewhere. And it didn't seem to jibe with the realities. So it's how faith, I think, has limited him or maybe reinforced a limitation in him that worries me. And I mean, a president that spends a half an hour a day on prayer, as a taxpayer, I'd rather him, you know, reading. I'd rather him talking to his advisors.
But it's being celebrated in this film out today, advertised as an alternative program to Fahrenheit 9/11. I'm Tom Ashbrook. You're listening to On Point. Let's turn to Mike, who's calling from Durham, North Carolina. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess the point that I wanted to make was that a lot of people have been wringing their hands over the fact that George Bush has his faith out in public and says that it informs his decisions. And realistically speaking, everyone has a religious point of view. We all do. You know, Kerry's is that it's important things, but not others. Well, that's his religious point of view. And everyone's religious point of view informs their decision-making. It's it's invariable. You can't avoid it.
You're saying he's just being more upfront about it.
He's just being more upfront about it. And he's being upfront in a way that, or about it, and he goes about it in a way that some people just don't like because it doesn't coincide with their point of view.
Mike, we've got it. Thanks very much for your call from Durham. Let me turn now to Cambridge, Massachusetts, and Harvey Cox. He's professor at Harvard Divinity School. His research and teaching interests focus on the interaction of religion, culture, and politics, author of many books, including Religion in the Secular City. Harvey Cox, thanks for being with us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
You've been watching this president for 4 years, and maybe more than that, Harvey Cox. What do you make of the way he's handling religion in the White House? Are there boundaries being crossed here? Is this a healthy celebration of the president's Christian faith? Is something else going on? Is tradition being challenged here?
You know, I can't help contrasting George Bush with the first explicitly evangelical born-again Christian in the White House, namely Jimmy Carter. And it calls to mind the remark that Jack Beatty made a few moments ago about what policy this intense faith leads to. I don't think anybody could say that Jimmy Carter was not equally pious and devout and a man of prayer and all of that. Of course he was. But his faith led him to an emphasis on human rights, on cooperation with other nations, on humanitarian aid, and all of that. I think one does have to scrutinize where the faith leads with reference to policy. That's what politics is about. I think also about Woodrow Wilson, very, very devout Presbyterian, son of a Presbyterian minister. He liked to call himself a son of the manse. His passion in life was to increase international cooperation, a League of Nations that almost killed him as he tried to advocate it around this country, which led eventually to the UN. I have no doubt about the sincerity of George Bush's religious convictions. I wouldn't raise questions about that. But I think as a citizen, I'm also a Christian, and I'm interested in what that faith results in with reference to policies that we have to talk about in a democracy, and we have to talk about them with people who, many people share that faith conviction, and many people don't. And we have to discuss it in a way in which we can all come to some kind of consensus.
Harvey Cox, we just got 20 seconds here, but this film we're talking about tonight praises the president for being prepared to finish the battle against the forces of evil. Is that a Christian call to conscience of a kind?
You know, it also contrasts. I think the most devoutly Christian president we've ever had was Abraham Lincoln, who also used biblical rhetoric, by the way, in his talks, but also refused to identify God, even with the cause of the Union, in the middle of a terrible civil war. Now, one contrast with this, with George Bush's willingness to say that the United States is the vehicle of the Almighty.
Harvey Cox, we've got to go for a short break here. Please stick with us. We're talking tonight about the faith-based presidency of George W. Bush. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about the faith-based presidency of George W. Bush and the evangelical rights answer to Fahrenheit 9/11. It's a new film called George W. Bush, Faith in the White House, reportedly 300,000 copies going out a month before Election Day to churches around the country. Will be played on Christian cable news channels. Will be very much in the eye of a portion of the American electorate in any case. We're joined tonight by David Balsiger. He's producer and director of the film. By David Domke, author of God Willing, joins us from Seattle, Washington. From Cambridge, Massachusetts, Harvey Cox, professor at Harvard Divinity School, author of The Reshaping of Religion in the 21st Century, and our own Jack Beatty is with us. You can join this conversation. Is the way George Bush invokes his faith good for the country? Does it lead to good politics, good policies, good decisions? Has the Bush administration whittled down the wall between church and state? Do you want it down, or do you want it standing tall? And there's this, have you ever seen religion so prominent in presidential politics? Are we witnessing a battle between faith and secularism? Is that good for the country? Have you chosen a side? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Hear from the film a discussion about the effect that President Bush's openness about his faith is having on Christians, of a certain stripe anyway, around the country.
George W. Bush, perhaps more than any president of the modern era, has opened his heart to the nation. He makes no bones about his problems with alcohol in his younger days, and he is just as candid about his Christian faith. We asked Tom Freiling, author of George W. Bush on God and Country, if that candor was having an effect on America.
I think it has clearly given Christians the strength to be more bold in their witness, in their own Christian walk. It has also given strength to Christians who are in the middle of fighting the culture war. Whether it be the issues of abortion or same-sex marriage, I think because President Bush has been so outspoken about his faith, it has allowed, or not even allowed, encouraged other Christians and especially Christian leaders to be the same way. I don't think they feel like they have to hide their Christian faith because the president doesn't hide it.
Voices from George W. Bush, faith in the White House. Take that, Michael Moore. We've got a Christian view of a kind that's very clearly laid out here. It's laid out in a very political season. Let's take another call or two. Grace is calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Grace. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you, Grace.
I am a Christian, and I'm actually very offended by the president's style of Christianity. It doesn't ring true, as he has not shown himself to be a person of integrity, which was supposedly what as voters we were looking for. And he has, you know, we talk about candor. I think it's been very selective. I'm also not impressed that he has 20 spiritual advisors. I think probably he could do with a fewer of them and maybe listen more and then pay attention to some of the political advice that he's refused to get. I have to say that Harvey Cox said better than I can begin to say how inconsistent what I read in the Bible, what I see of Jesus' words, what I see in the whole message from Genesis all the way right through to the Revelations. I don't see the compassion. I don't see the caring for justice. I don't see caring for oppressed people, and I don't see trying to avoid war at all costs. I see someone who didn't listen to the State Department, didn't even listen to the people at the top of the Department of Defense, and yet was ready to go into war. I'm thrilled to find that Saddam Hussein's not there, but I don't see a man who was trying to avoid war.
Grace, we've got it. We get your perspective, and we thank you for it. David Balsiger, let me put that to you. I must say there's a lot about George Bush standing up for his faith, standing up against evil in your film. There's not much, as Grace points to these, about compassion, justice, peace. Why not?
Well, I think we did come through with that message that he's a caring and compassionate president. That's what most people were saying that had some type of faith-based experience with him. And Dr. Cox mentioned, well, how do we see the faith translate to policy? We did cover one of those in there, his speech to the United Nations about modern-day slavery, sex slavery, and children being sold.
So trafficking in human beings, yes.
Yes, and also he's given more money in aid to Africa for dealing with the AIDS crisis. So there's caring and compassion. There's we have a number of stories in there by people who have witnessed this caring and compassion with our American soldiers and others. So I think it's an unfair statement that they make.
Harvey Cox, how do you respond there? He's compassionate. He hugs people in grief. He goes to Ground Zero on 9/11, and he's made speeches for about human trafficking, put more money toward AIDS. So what's the complaint?
You know, I would say I don't have any question about the sincerity of George Bush's faith, even though he's able to he's also a politician, and he's able to soft-pedal some of the issues that conservative Christians are concerned about. However, just think about the fact that there are millions and millions of Christians in this country who are uncomfortable with George Bush. I don't think there's another group in America that's more religious than African Americans in church attendance, participation, and even patriotism and family values. But 90% of them would not be comfortable voting for Joe. They won't. Every poll shows that they won't. And I rather resent it when the author of this film, the maker of this film, seems to be suggesting that he's speaking for Christians. He isn't. He's speaking for a particular group of Christians, which doesn't include many of us.
David Domke, let me turn to you in Seattle. You make a very tough critique of the Bush administration. You say that they've merged a religious fundamentalist worldview with a political agenda in a very partisan way. You call it a modern form of political fundamentalism. What do you mean by that?
What they've done is they've brought together a distinctly conservative religious worldview grounded in a set of fundamentalist characteristics that I talk about in the book that emerge in their communications if you look across several hundreds of them, as I have. And they've merged that with what you have to see is the neoconservative political agenda that certainly was opportunistic after 9/11. In the aftermath of that crisis context, and the crisis is crucial here because fear makes this religious language and this religious rhetoric so very attractive, they've been able to pursue a distinct brand of partisan agenda that that even many fiscal conservatives, people in the Republican Party, are troubled by. So they've really capitalized in this context, and I think that's what troubles me most here. I'm a Christian, too. This is not a battle of a godless professor troubled by the presidency. Mm. I'm troubled by the application of the policy in ways that are exclusive as opposed to inclusive. The grand tradition of presidential religious language is civil religion, inclusive language. I don't see that here.
You heard in the clip we just played this notion that President Bush has emboldened Christians to be more forthright and to be more public in their faith. You're saying that doesn't speak to your Christianity. So who exactly do you think is emboldened by this president?
I think particularly white evangelical Protestants, which are the largest voting bloc when you slice by race and by religious belief in the country. And I think that the White House has concluded that as long as the 4 million people that Karl Rove has said are conservative Christians and didn't vote in 2000, if they come out to vote in 2004, then this president wins re-election. And so I just don't think that we can take this religious language on its face value without analyzing the political strategy behind it. I think it's a mistake for all of us.
Let's get a call. Nancy's calling from Erie, Pennsylvania. Hi, Nancy. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had two statements, one more minor than the other. But personally, I'm very comfortable having a strong leader with strong religious beliefs, regardless of his denomination. I think that we need more such leaders. And the minor point that I wanted to make was the producer of the film mentioned that there were of late several Christians and one Catholic in the White House. And I guess as a Catholic, it sort of bothers me that we aren't considered part of the Christian group.
Yeah. So don't take away that distinction, please, you're saying.
Yes, because we believe Jesus Christ is the Savior and Redeemer. And
Nancy, let me ask you this, if I may, though. Why do you feel more comfortable, and I'm not judging it at all, I'm just really curious how you would express it, with a president of very public faith in the White House?
Because I think that is a good example and role model for all of us. I think lately there are too many people that have gotten lost, and what better ground to, what better ground for us than religious faith?
Yep, we've got it. Nancy, thanks very much for your call from Erie. I'm Tom Ashbrook. You're listening to On Point. And there's that attitude, Jack Beatty, that says, I'm happy to see a person of faith in the White House. Bring it on.
Well, it anchors Bush. It gives him his values. I can understand. And it certainly gives him psychological strength. I mean, he leads with his faith. And when he talks about his heart, he's really talking about his faith. But again, the content of the faith, I guess you have to keep coming back to, and the unclouded way that he holds it. I mean, I guess I think of faith, and I'm not a person of faith, but when I think of faith, I think of doubt. And of looking at the mote in your own eye rather than the beam in the other fellow's. Bush divides humanity, it seems to me, into the children of light and the children of darkness. And I think that is not the way humanity is divided. even our enemies are human beings.
David Balsgert, let me turn to you on this issue of the separation of church and state. Your film would appear to celebrate George Bush knocking that wall down a few notches. It makes the case, as I watched it, that this wall of separation has been overblown in recent decades and needs to be taken down a few notches. Have I got that right?
Well, I'm not so sure it needs to be taken down. Most evangelicals and even Senator Zell Miller, who was in the show, stated clearly that it never existed in the Constitution to begin with. And so there seems to be one group out there, when they're against someone's faith, they bring up the separation of church and state. But in reality, most people don't believe it, and when you look at the Constitution, it's not specifically there.
David Domke, how do you respond to that? I guess I did misspeak. It's not to take it down a little. It's to say it never existed or should have existed in the first place, and we're done with that.
Yes, it's viewed entirely as a myth, which is exactly the word that's attached to the notion of separation of church and state in the 2002 Texas Republican platform, that it's a myth. This is an administration that has run its reelection campaign centrally through churches, asking for membership rosters so as to make sure people are registered voters, asking pastors to pursue certain duties to make sure that their congregants will vote for Bush. And this is a Republican Party which twice in the recent congressional session has attempted to allow churches to create a bill that would allow churches to endorse politicians three times without having their nonprofit tax-exempt status lost. They see church and state as a myth as opposed to a legal and, I believe, ethical reality.
Let's get a flavor from the film at the close of the movie nearly. It calls on a Christian audience to get involved in politics.
Not all Americans agree that we have always had the right man in the right position in a moment of crisis. But one thing is indisputable. Those who have led the nation in its darkest moments have always been willing to humble themselves before God and to call the nation to prayer. President George W. Bush has set the example for maintaining faith in the face of unrelenting criticism. In my book, Tough Faith, I presented a roadmap through the dangerous deception that lies ahead. As the president has so ably demonstrated, it is vitally important for Christians to be fully engaged in the religious and cultural conflicts of the 21st century. Will the faith of George Bush be sufficient to keep us in God's hands today? Perhaps, if we all join our faith to his.
As we've been assured, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, can separate us from God's love. May he bless the souls of the departed. May he comfort our own. And may he always guide our country. God bless America.
George Bush from the film. Harvey Cox, we've got 1 minute left. A final thought on where this presidency has moved the country in terms of church-state relations and where you'd like to see it go.
I just wanted to make the point that this is not an election between religious and Christian people on one side and secularists on the other. That's really a canard.
But that's the case that's being made in this film.
Excuse me?
But that's the case that's being made in this film.
It's a mistaken and misleading case. When we come down to it, there are lots and lots of people of faith who are going to vote one way and lots of people of faith who are going to vote the other way. And let's not cast it as a battle between the religious and the secular. It is not that.
There you have it from Harvey Cox himself tonight. Harvey, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Harvey Cox, professor at Harvard Divinity School. David Balsiger, producer and director of George W. Bush, Faith in the White House, thank you very much for coming on tonight.
Thank you.
And David Domke in Seattle, Associate Professor of Communications at the University of Washington, author of God Willing, Political Fundamentalism in the White House, The War on Terror, and The Echoing Press. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Jack, there we are, with God on everybody's side, we hope, one way or another. Thanks to you for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.